Like jeez.
Cum shot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for making my name on this jizzy. I didn't. It had auto-filled from the last time I had done that. And so.
Yeah, jizzy 2. The sequel.
I thought you got. Okay, that wasn't sure what the 2 was for.
You put it there.
The 2 is because you're back. Better than ever.
Jizzier than ever.
Too jizzy. Too furious.
Hello, welcome to Punta Vista. This is a bonus episode, and you've called BVPD. Can I help you, ma'am? Armed robbery. Okay, so as you can see on the BVPD website, we actually only investigate stolen pigs and weird smells. So is there a pig that's currently being stolen? No, okay. All right. Any weird smells from the offenders? No? All right. Well, good luck. Hope it goes well. See ya. Sorry about that. Here you are at BVPD, where we've got the toughest detectives on the stolen pig beat. And we don't like to do things by the book around here. Our methods? Unpopular, not effective, mostly illegal. But do you think we give a shit? Well, we don't actually. With me is a guy that we like to call the nose. He's investigated over 400 mysterious smell crimes, and he's solved 399 of them. His one mistake got a beautiful woman killed. He'll be haunted by it for the rest of his life, and that's why he drinks at work. But we just let him. Hey, Ben, I just got a call that something smells nasty near a KFC. Do you want to have a easy win today, bud?
You know what's fucking cruel about all of this is that everyone calls me the nose, but that because of my deviated septum, I can actually only smell out of one nostril. So I can't even use my stereoscopic smell to pinpoint where the smells are. I have unoscopic smell.
God, life is cruel.
Well, cops are cruel. These cops are cruel.
The life is cruel. The streets are cruel.
Yeah. Every day there's a new fucking smell. You find the source of one smell, there's another smell on
there's
the other side of
another,
town.
There's another on the other side of town.
You find a greased pig, number 2. You find out there's also a 3 and a 4 somewhere out there.
Also with me is a guy we like to call Little Baby Hog. He's rescued over 200 little pigs and seized them as evidence and kept all of them. And he lives in a big house full of little pigs. And he named every single pig. And he kisses every single pig on the head before he goes to bed at night. We don't give a fuck about the rules around here. It's a friend of the show and my Savant Garde co-host, Jesse Black. Hey, Little Baby Hog, how you doing?
Hello. I was thinking about doing one of those hog calls that people do in county fairs around here. Yeah. That's like suey and like really, really, really loud. But I figured
Excuse me, what's a hog call?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to derail so quickly. It's when you need to call your hogs.
Yeah.
So you make a
is it like a competition?
Noise.
So it's like who's the best hog caller?
I believe so.
Yeah, yes. You see these kinds of things all over the place. There's the what's that one that like the husband call?
I've seen the husband
or the spouse call.
Call
whatever it is. I can't remember which way gendered it is, but it's the same thing. But it's for hogs. Got to get them hogs back.
Wow, that's
beautiful. It's like a yodeling version, I think, as well.
That's truly incredible what they can do at a county fair.
We're just not doing it like that over here. What's the, is there hog calling at the Ecca?
We don't, are you going to go to the Ecca this year?
I don't know, should I?
Oh, that's our regional festival thing that we do in the big city of Brisbane.
State fair?
Yeah, it's kind of like the equivalent of the state fair. All the country folk come to town and they bring their chickens and their cows and their cakes.
And stuff. Cakes.
Yeah, but it's mostly for selling show bags. It's stupid. It's really bad. But like every city kind of has one, I think. Sydney has the Easter show. What does Melbourne have?
The Melbourne show. Yeah. Just the Melbourne show.
Checks out. I've been to a couple. We should go. We should go because it'll be your first one.
Let's go. Let's do it. I'm going to pet some pigs.
But we don't, even our like proper country shows don't have that kind of hog calling stuff. Like they always have wood chopping. There's probably some like dog agility stuff, maybe
dogs,
if you like.
Maybe some dog stuff. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And then it's guys selling like potato spirals on a stick.
And ladies, old ladies making cakes.
Yeah, which is the good
that
shit.
That sounds kind of nice. Do you fried Oreos over there?
No, see, we're not doing, this is the
You're
thing.
You're not doing
that
aspect.
one of America's few good parts. You got the national parks and you've got like the food alleys at the state fairs where they're in a like a deadly arms race with each other to come up with
frying
the most fucked up thing they could think of.
Couldn't even dream about. Yeah. We should have that. Insane. Fuck those potato spirals.
Yeah,
they
I'm sick of the potato
nice, but they
spiral.
Don't taste that good.
I want like the deep fried pickle milkshake or whatever that you're selling. Give that to me.
That sounds good.
I want a deep fried Uncrustable. I know that exists.
I'm like always looking at the lists of what the vendors are for all of the state fairs because I got my fingers in a lot of pies. But we've sort of, we've done enough episodes where we've just listed foods that I'm not really including them in the show anymore. But I'm seeing some crazy shit out there. You guys are doing amazing stuff.
Thank you.
That's not, you know, the whole country.
Yeah,
you've
got to hand it to America. Shout out to the USA.
These are the things we have to save. This is why we can't let that country fall to fascism. We need the national parks. We need Taco Bell. We need good Taco Bell, not the fucking shitty Australian Taco Bell.
I don't know. Our Taco Bell has been declining, I think, here. It's expensive kind of. It's expensive now. And so like one of the pillars of the Taco Bell experience, which is it not being like $1 million, is eroding. And now I'm more critical of like, say, my cheesy gordita crunch because I paid more money for it. So I'm like inspecting the layers for inconsistencies.
Burn it all down. Let's get rid of the end of the American Empire.
How much are you paying for a cheesy gordita crunch?
Let's see what the current
probably so much cheaper than here. I used to love those like dollar bean and cheese burritos. Let's get like five of those things.
Man could live on those. Man could live on those.
Man could live
years.
On bean and cheese.
Yeah, alone.
$4.99 for the cheesy gordita.
$4.99.
Isn't
get
that
fucked.
A bit much for real?
I feel like it used to be like $3.50.
It was $3.50, and that was in Hawaii, I think. Good gravy.
I want to see the chart of what the price has been like since Trump came in, because everyone wants to blame Bidenflation, Bidenomics, but those tariffs.
Trump, cheesy gordita, the tariffs on the Monterey Jack or something.
Yeah, that's
it's so funny. We've decided to just do everything. It's so funny. It's not funny at all, of course, but it is. We are nuking the entire cheese market or whatever today. I don't even know what we're doing.
It's fucking wild. It's so wild. I don't have to be like personally invested in it because I don't live there and it's too far away for me to fully extend my empathy. That like every time there's another thing in the news where Trump's like, I'm putting a 20% tariff on Indonesia. And you're like, okay, so is that coming in like now? Or is that just you've said it in a speech and it's not going to happen? Or it's 5% now? I don't actually understand if it's already happened.
I don't
understand
if any of them have happened at all.
I don't think anyone does, unfortunately. And I think it's just one of those things where we all just kind of have to go, it's a living, and like do a shrug thing. And then, I don't know. I think it changes like every 20 minutes too, depending on
that must
how
feel
he's
good.
Feeling.
Like that must feel like sort of comforting to just know that at a base level, nothing is
just
like
never,
stable.
Never know what will happen day to day.
Yeah.
At least I'm comforted knowing that he's upset that RFK remove the sugar from Coke or remove the corn syrup from Coca-Cola and Donald
Trump. Oh, shit. Yeah, you guys are
getting sugar cola. That's exciting.
Yeah, like the same as the rest of the world. Well done. You're getting cane sugar in your cola.
They're taking away our precious goo, and I don't appreciate this kind of thing. Nanny state
now,
taking my goo.
A bunch of like pulled pork recipes are going to have to be like, you don't have to get Mexican Coke anymore. It's fine. You can use
just get regular Coke.
You can use the American one now.
You could use a Dr. Pepper. I'm just saying. If you,
I was talking to a friend yesterday about Dr. Pepper marinating some wings for an event that we're doing in the near future. It's all connected.
Wow.
Morphic resonance. Ideas travel through dreams.
Synchronicities?
Yes.
Butterfly. No, not that one.
Yeah, sure. Who cares? Hey, the stuff that's happening in the news, that doesn't seem like stuff we should chat about. But sometimes there is stuff we should chat about. And we chat about that. It's stuff we should chat about.
Here comes some stuff we should chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Boom, tell us stuff to chat about. Here comes some more stuff to chat about. We're chatting about stuff. Yeah, baby.
Is this for me?
Well,
did you
put
this in for me?
I thought you said that you wanted one. Did I misread something in the chat?
No, you know, I did say that I wanted one.
Okay, good.
It feels spurious now, but I needed to get this out. So last night, I came home. I had a bunch of work to finish at a work deadline. I just wanted to put something shitty on the TV, like just some easy watch garbage. And what I stumbled across was a 2020 film in the American Pie universe called Girls Rules.
Okay. So it's American Pie Presents Girls American Rules. American Pie Presents
Girls Rules, and it's kind of like a gender-swapped American Pie with Zoomers in it, made in 2020.
Zoomers?
Oh. Yeah, there's Zoomers. Like, one of the girls is like, is she Stephanie Stifler?
I was going to say, what's the Stifler connection?
Oh, it's Stephanie Stifler. This is actually a surprisingly stacked cast. You've got Madison Pettis, Liz Broadway, Darren Barnett, Piper Curda.
Piper Curda.
Sarah Rue.
It's probably Natasha Zoomers Bedham. Being like, obviously, it's got Piper Curda in it.
It's got Piper Curda.
Zachary Gordon, Lucas Adams, all the stars are here.
Was it good?
I just wanted to chat. No, it wasn't good. And it was like so Zoomery, but also not. And I couldn't figure out who it's for because I don't think Zoomers like this stuff.
Because it was like
really aggressively sexual. There's a lot of sex scenes and stuff in it. And it's just like the ladies, one of the ladies wants to lose her virginity.
Raunchy comedy,
Raunchy comedy.
Interesting.
It's very raunchy. There's pies in it, but I was wondering how the pie was going to come in. Like, is she going to put
does
the
it?
What she do with the pie?
Pussy. Is that just... There's just pies in it. What were we doing in 2020? This came out in 2020. I don't
COVID?
Remember this existing at all. No. I've never seen any of these actors in my life.
Came out in October of 2020. So, like, some shit had already started happening at that point. I wonder when they started making it.
Imagine watching this during COVID. Annie is trying to lose her virginity to her boyfriend. Stephanie is a confident lacrosse player who is blackmailing her school's perverted principal into retiring by recording him being chained up and whipped by her.
What?
Michelle is a sex toy expert who prides herself on her knowledge.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, there was heaps of sex toys and stuff in it.
I'd never really understood the place of the sex comedy as a movie genre at all. Like,
I mean, I feel like it had its place because we couldn't watch porn or anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would go and rent a sex comedy that had a sex scene rating on it because you might get to see a sex scene when you were, 14 or whatever because you couldn't just look it up on the computer.
Yeah, that's going to be it,
trip, but things of that nature.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now it's like, if you're 25, what are you getting from the sex company? Because they're really good. You're never watching one and being like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
What
and it's not
doing?
Like, oh, I really want that kind of build up before I see a sex scene. Like, there's no...
No, I want to get
no
straight into it.
There's no flirtatious build. I want to get straight to it.
I want to get to the 15-second point of the ad. Skip past it.
Does this like exist in our modern? I guess it does because you watched it. So it's 2020. Was it Zoomerfied in the sense where they were saying things were like, what's the term? Chuggy? Is that something?
No.
Or was it like an old man thinking
it
of
was
Zoomer
weird.
Stuff?
It was clearly made
no says that.
By like no millennials, but with Zoomers in it. Like it wasn't Zoomer coded. They weren't doing Zoomer stuff. They were too sexually confident. Yeah.
We get this with the good doctor.
Like a Gen X guy though, right? Probably.
Written by Blaine Weaver.
How old is he?
1976. That's a Gen X guy.
Yeah.
Blaine Neutron Weaver.
Neutron.
Blaine Neutron Weaver.
Neutron.
Notable work, Manic, Weather Girl, 6 month Rule.
There's five movies in the fucking American Pie Presents universe.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen all of them.
What is wrong with you? Why have you done this? Did you enjoy any of them?
I don't know. I've seen all of these. I've seen Beta House. What's the other one?
Awesome.
They're all not good. And they became
these,
even
right?
more offensive. There's heaps of them. There's movies you would not believe.
How are they getting... They got Eugene Levy to be in all of them except for Girls' Rules. What do they have on him?
Really?
What do they have on this guy?
Yeah, I reckon they've got something on him, hey.
Oh, do you guys want to know a fun bit of movie trivia that I learned yesterday?
Absolutely.
Related to Eugene Levy. So you know the David Cronenberg movie, A History of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Familiar with that one?
Mm-hmm.
And you know the television program Schitt's Creek?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how Schitt's Creek is set at a hotel and A History of Violence starts with the scene with the two spree killers killing the staff at that hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same fucking hotel.
No way.
Crazy. Yeah, the Schitt's Creek Hotel is the murder hotel from History of Violence.
Wow.
Can I ask how you learned that?
Yep. We watched A History of Violence, myself and the love of my life, and then I, as I always do, was scrolling the IMDb trivia, and it said, this is the hotel from Schitt's Creek. You got to be looking up that IMDb trivia while you're watching
you
the movie.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe in the credits.
You got to be on your phone. The movie. Pick your phone up.
One eye down at the phone, one eye up at the TV.
Such a fun website to use, too. I like how it injects advertisements into my entire screen, and there's a tiny X to click, and the X is shifting. I love when that happens to me.
Yeah.
You know what, IMDb? If you're listening, I'm never going to fucking download your app, ever. I'm always going to look in the browser.
Never.
Fuck off. Stop asking. It's embarrassing. Who's got the IMDb app on their phone?
Are you logging in? Like, no.
Yeah. Maybe people that, like, edit it a bunch.
That's sure.
All out. But that's fucked. If you're like, because there's people on there that make, like, lists and log their movies and stuff, but everyone's moved over to Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're on Letterboxd.
Talking about bits of trivia about A History of Violence. That makes me sound like an old guy. Mm. We talk about old guys in Old Guy Watch. We got to come up with a proper theme for this. Gerontology zone. Yeah.
I liked that one.
This is from WHTM in Pennsylvania. 100-year-old war hero still drives golf balls and his car.
I don't think he should.
Right? Yeah. I think a lot of people underestimate what old people are capable of and are often quite rude and dismissive of them, even though it's going to happen to all of us eventually if we're lucky enough to get that old.
That sort of blanket
saying that old people shouldn't be able to drive is so fucking rude and horrible, and we're so dismissive of old people. But then sometimes someone in front of you will be driving like 20 kilometers an hour in like a 60 kilometer street, and then you'll get a glimpse at them. It'll be the oldest person you've ever seen in your life. You go,
it'll be like the top of Nana's head because she's like shrunk and she can barely see over the dashboard.
One of those little Peruvian mummies just like peering over the steering wheel, and to them, they're in like the fucking hyperspace bits from Star Wars, just watching everything streaking by. But to you, they're making you late to work. Anyway, 100-year-old guy still drives golf balls in his car. In war, he received 2 Purple Hearts. On the golf course, he's carrying his own clubs.
Why?
Wow. Get a caddy, man.
Can somebody help
him? Just get like one of your many grandsons to come hang out with you and teach him some fucking life lessons while he carries your clubs.
Yeah, your grandkids don't talk to you.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing. Wonder why that is. Because you won't stop driving.
Okinawa with some opinions, huh? I don't know anything about this man.
Do we know which war for sure? I guess we could.
It's got to be.
We can speculate. I don't know.
I assumed World War. Oh, my God.
Iraq.
He was in Okinawa.
Second wave.
Oh.
He was? Yeah, really? Okay. Nice. Well, not nice for that. Hat. I just mean nice that you guessed it.
Yeah, thank God they were there.
Yeah.
George Ivanov celebrated his 100th birthday doing the same thing he does a lot of other days. He played a round of golf. Quote, George is definitely a staple around Colonial, said Rick Gibney, general manager and head golf professional at Colonial Country Club in Harrisburg. Quote, everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Jesse, actually, I have an American translation question here, which I've been wondering about.
Please.
Sometimes I'll be watching an American movie and they'll refer to someone at a country club or something as like the tennis pro or the golf pro. What the fuck are they talking about?
I actually used to be a caddy at a golf course. I think maybe worst job I've ever had, least favorite job of all time, by a pretty huge margin. But I think, are they talking about the person that runs the pro shop potentially? Because there's a thing called, I don't fucking golf whatsoever. So this is like, I'm barely describing this correctly, I'm sure. But there's a shop where you go in and buy shit. And I think there's like that might be what they're referring to. He's like the guy who's in charge. I presume it's a guy, I guess. Because it was kind of, at least in this one, it was very much a, like there's the only women here are like youngish ladies, and they're all bringing people cocktails, and it's a bunch of like older rich guys as like the people working there.
What a beautiful culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying every golf course is like that, but
I think most of them.
They're most of them like that, yeah.
I think that's probably it was
and that's what this guy really loves about it. Came back from Okinawa. Yeah. Being creepy to young ladies.
Yeah, women are vaguely subservient because they're all in servile roles. Not a lot of non-white people around. Again, don't know the guy. Know nothing about him. World War II was a long, long time ago. Hard to believe that a guy in Pennsylvania would be racist. Quote, everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Ivanov was a scratch golfer at one time, his friend and golf partner Dominic Portanova said. If he hits a bad shot, he still gets upset about it. And at 100 years old, he'll shoot a 90 or a 95.
Is that good?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's 90 or 95 yards. That's how far he can...
Oh, I see.
Is that good?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm guessing.
I could probably shoot like 150 or something.
The handful of times I've been to a driving range, I've been like, well, this is pretty easy because, you know, you swing pretty hard and the ball is kind of quite compact and dense. That'll travel quite far. And everybody else's do. They go really far.
It looks really easy.
It seems like it should be. I've not found that to be true for my own self.
Not really.
I kind of hate the idea that this guy is 100 years old and he still gets like cranky if he does like a bad shot at golf. Like he's been alive for 100 years. He survived fighting in World War II.
You haven't dealt with your anger. You still haven't developed emotional. Your inner child is still vulnerable.
Yes. You still want the validation of being good at golf and you don't have it yet. Yeah. He's not done figuring out how to be okay with himself. He's 100-year-old man.
Go to therapy.
Yes. Put down the clubs, pick up your jitterbug and ask one of your relatives to book an appointment with a therapy for session. You.
Oh, the jitterbug.
He has been a member of the club since 1948, right after World War II. He was probably at that club before they allowed non-whites to join.
Oh, my God, probably, because that was probably like 1975 or something.
Right? No good. Again, don't know him.
100 years old?
100. A clean century.
I'm going to be watching TV, I guess. If I'm living that far in the future.
I'm having a chair. It's my chair. TV, gaming.
We're not going to have the VR fucking TV gaming anymore. By then. Yeah, the TV is going to be long gone. But can you imagine what's
shit
how
that's
old
being
are we?
Projected into my brain or whatever?
Like 65 years from now, that's 2080? Nope.
Sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Fine.
Okay.
2090. We're not. This isn't on the cards for us. Like, if we wanted to play golf on a real golf course at the age of 100, we're not going to have that option.
No, like, I don't think that will exist. But we could play like virtual. We could play Rory McIlroy's PGA Tour 2015, probably.
Yeah, probably. Probably
the machines hold
like 2050.
Up.
Which is just as good, if not better.
Cyber Rory McIlroy's 2050. That would go crazy. I'm just worried that if in that amount of time, realistically, like I'm going to be in like some sort of in the cyber mines at like the Tesla hospital / work zone, city 14, whatever. I don't know what's going to go down here.
Are you going to be plugged into like a pod and they're going to be using your brain for compute space? Like you're going to be folding for NFTs or
plug
whatever.
Our brain straight into the ChatGPT thing for the Tesla robot or whatever.
They're going to be folding at Jesse during your brain's idle time.
Just patiently being plugged. Well, at least it's for something. At least it's being productive. This is being used. It's going to a good home.
We're putting people on Mars.
Can you, like, I can't even project that far forward in time with any idea of normalcy still happening. Like, we're probably going to be gangs and roving mobs at that point, and they're not keeping a 100-year-old guy around. I'm slowing everyone down. They're shooting me, and they're taking my car.
Oh, yeah. We're getting shot at, like, 50 by then, right?
Yeah.
We're making us fight each other. Logan's Run shit, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
The 100-year-old guy.
That's
the
gym.
With the hand? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But think of this. The 100-year-old will have, as one of those people, we will be the only ones that remember all of the memes and stuff and like the culture that we absorb. And so we are valuable in a sense of, yeah, we could be like, you know, they Elder Jesse, like, what was Skibidi? Yeah. What was it like when the sky was blue? Well,
I'm like full moons on special occasions. We have a campfire and then I tell them all of my favorite bits from the Monty Python movies.
Just doing reciting Treehouse of Horror to my small family. It should be fine. I'm hoping to be one of those like protein farmers in, you know, the new Blade Runner where Dave Bautista is like gigantic, like he's like a grub farmer in the wastes. And he's like,
got the big maggots. Yeah.
He's moving around nutrient slurries and things of that nature and like eating worms and boiling tea for himself with tiny glasses. That's
chill.
Like best case scenario for me.
Honestly, up until the point where he gets executed for being an android on the run. Pretty
I had
good
forgotten
life.
About that part. Yes.
Like, that, it's oh, kind man, of it a does, dream. He's just, he's grown garlic for himself so he can make stew. He's got tiny little glasses. He's got a piano. He's got solitude.
Did he have a piano?
He's got his grubs.
I've seen that in a while. His grubs, of course. Named each and every one, just like my baby pigs that we referenced in the beginning of this episode.
Do you think there is like a size of maggot at which you would start feeling positive towards it? Like the ones that he's pulling out of
fucking
food. Do
you think it's the size that makes it nasty?
I mean, if it was like 3 foot long and it displayed some personality, I'd be like, oh my God, it's crawler. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on over here.
Like a
crawler.
Large grub, like a big, like a thick grub.
That is the right word.
Some,
right.
Some sort of thick grub-like creature. I'm just kind of visualizing, there's some pretty big grubs out there, but anything, I think as they get smaller, I get more alarmed because they turn into more like parasitic worm-looking things.
Yeah.
That's but the like, type of shit that really gets to me.
If it's 4 foot long, it's not going to like fucking creep into one of your wounds. It's just going to like nuzzle you because it wants more rotting flesh, cuddles. I guess. I don't know what you'd have to feed it. What are they feeding those in the Blade Runner? I'll call up to me.
I think it's there's a liquid that he's coating them in, I think. I got to watch that again. I don't know.
It's such a good fucking movie. There's just no reason to make a sequel to Blade Runner and they somehow made... Just an unbelievably good movie.
It's pretty good.
Mm. And it's even got that creep in there, that guy that sex teens, that Jared Leto.
That guy okay. I was going to say that is my kind of least favorite part. And not because he sucks as a person necessarily. It's also like I don't think that part of the movie is that good. I don't know. He's like the womb. He's obsessed with wombs, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the weird creature.
He's trying to get the robots to have babies.
Forgot about that.
But also the design of the thing he lives in is fucking amazing. These sort of like brutalist pyramids. They look so good. They look like James Turrell installations or something. They're so nice. He was even more impressive on the battlefield. Quote, when he was at Okinawa, he got shot through the neck, Portanova said.
Jesus.
And it's crazy really impressive. Because his captain was shot in the stomach. He carried his captain to safety and the captain died in his arms.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. So he says.
Yeah. 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 Oh, I found him.
No one else
dead.
Was there to see it.
Yeah. This is some incredible
going
mystery.
In on this guy. Fuck this guy. Don't know anything about
going in on this guy.
Could be a lovely
scene in
Love and Grandfather.
Private Ryan that's based off of his real life experiences and shit going off after this guy.
He's, could have been
inspired
MLK
Tom Hanks.
Jr. We don't know.
Purple Heart. Fucking fake award. Oh, you got shot. Congrats.
You had an owie in Japan.
Oh, you got a participation trophy.
Okay, don't know anything about him at all.
It's like countless charities in his name or just...
Ivanov remembers it well. Quote, he told me he was sorry he got wounded because he was a medic who was there to help us, Ivanov said. He apologized to me. He went back into service where he got shot through the face. The bullet went through one side and came out the other.
Oh, my God.
He got fight clubbed.
Yeah,
he got the end of the fight clubbed. He grabbed his gun. He earned 2 purple hearts. So I think shooting him through the face only made him angrier, and he started doing some John Wick stuff to the Imperial Japanese Army.
He should get more than 1 purple heart for a face blow. That should be worth like 2-3
one.
Purple hearts.
You should get like a shiny purple heart.
Yeah, like a red
holographic.
The one evolves into the other. When I was a kid, I was also always like really preoccupied and worried about getting shot in the face specifically. Like I have dreams about getting shot in the face, specifically the face. I don't know why that's always freaked me out. Like, it's not, it's no cakewalk, I'm sure, to get shot anywhere else. Like, he was also shot in the neck, but the face.
I don't think you want to get shot anywhere, but the face is probably pretty unpleasant. I've never really thought about getting shot before.
No, it's not really been a risk in my life.
Yeah, it's not really something that has to cross your mind much. Like, it could happen, I guess.
What could be the difference culturally? Explain such a thing.
Speaking about dreams, I know talking about people's dreams is generally boring as fuck, but someone last night told me, wait, Lucy, were you here for this when Kieran was describing the dream that he had had the night before?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the most, like, unbelievably, like, your brain trying to give you a message without any subtlety whatsoever dream. The dream he had was that he was, against his own will, he was running a marathon with a bunch of people, and, like, everyone was doing it, but they were running through shit, like waist-deep shit. And he knew that the shit smelled really bad, and he kept telling everybody else, hey, we probably shouldn't be doing this. Why are we doing this? And everybody else was like, no, it doesn't smell bad. You've just got to keep running. I think he should get a different job or something.
Yeah.
That's like, your brain has given up any sort of abstract metaphor. It's literally just like, running out of ideas to get it through this guy.
Your brain just starts giving you text instead of dreams. It's just the letters, you are depressed.
Listen. I'm having an intervention from all my organs. It's my brain and my spleen are like, we need to talk about some stuff.
Closed my eyes and my subconscious was just like, how are you?
How are you?
You doing okay? Quote, and the crazy part about it is they wanted to give him a medical discharge, Portanova said. He refused it. Shot through the neck, shot through the face. Can't get him out of the army.
Can't get him out. He just wanted to kill some.
Just really wanted to take it to the Japanese. Again, never met the gentleman. Only know him from this article. Know that he likes golf. Now, he refuses to stop golfing. I like they're drawing a through line. He refused a medical discharge after he got shot through the neck and face. And now he refuses to stop golfing. It's kind of the same.
Kind of the same thing.
Interesting. A pattern forms.
He still drives on the green and drives to the green. Quote, I'm a good driver, Ivanov said. Of course, I only go from my house to the golf course.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Sorry, I got distracted. I looked up because I just wanted to see this man, and I looked up 100-year-old man golfing. There are so many 100-year-old golfers.
Well, what else you got? 100-year-old
golfer still swinging. Rose Benman, Herb Dixon, Larry Dampo, Bob Williams. Like, there is John Skipper.
Where are you getting so this many guy?
Larry Dampo?
Bob Erfurth.
Just a list of centenarian golfers?
There is so many YouTube videos about, and they all say the same shit. 103-year-old golfer is still deadly on the green.
You can't be. At some point, your shoulders have got to fucking stop working, right?
You would think so. Like, it's quite physically challenging.
Yeah. I mean, the swinging part. The rest of it, you're just kind of walking around lazily. I don't know about this. Yeah. I'm not a big golf person myself. Not a fan. Mini golf, though. Give me some putt-putt.
Mini golf is rules. That's where the game it really is. This golf stuff is for children to me. I don't understand. Yeah. Mini golf is
mini golf is kind of, it's more cerebral. It's more of a head game.
Exactly.
It is. It is, actually. You don't get to just swing and smack it.
A bunch of birthday parties around me.
Could you go mini golfing alone? Is that it? That's probably a fucked up activity to do alone, huh?
Wow. I wonder if I've ever seen that.
I don't think I've ever seen someone mini golfing alone.
Fuck.
I've seen a man bowling alone, but you can do that because you can. That's it's like cool. You're practicing your bowling.
That sounds
you're a cool
meditative
bowler.
As fuck.
Yeah.
God, that sounds like
that.
A perfect evening. Bowling solo? Shit.
Got your own ball? Got your gloves on?
You're having a couple of beers and you don't have to wait for anyone's turn. You don't also have to rush.
It's always your turn.
It's you, the lane, the pins, the bowl. And the sky. That's it. They can't take that shit away from you.
The sky.
Man, that genuinely sounds like such a nice time.
Fuck,
it is.
I'm going to do it.
I mean, I'd probably be better going with Maddie than going alone. But alone does sound. You can even put your headphones in.
You could. You could listen to a podcast.
I'd probably have my AirPods in.
Hey, mini golfing solo. That sounds like it should be a crime. We talk about crimes in Crime Watch.
Please put down your weapon. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
Help me!
This comes to us from WLS in, I think this is pronounced Chicago?
Yes.
Tesla Cybertruck owner recounts how thief exploited auto lock feature to enter vehicle.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's tell us how to do it.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I saw this as well. I was like, yeah, put this in the news. Yeah, absolutely please. Put
Describe
this in the news.
Describe how he did it in the news.
Dumb motherfucker. A warning for owners of Teslas equipped with the auto lock feature. Car burglars may be waiting for the opportunity to gain access to your vehicle.
What is this like the thing where you're near the car and it unlocks or something?
What's and the reverse. Oh. You walk away from it and it locks.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. That seems really stupid and easily exploited just on the face of it.
What do they call it?
Prima facie.
Social engineering, I think this is. So you just wait for a guy to walk away and then you walk into his car.
Yeah.
Eddie Villa thought his Cybertruck had locked automatically until a thief got in with just a touch and it was all caught on camera. Quote, as I'm getting my stuff, he's getting close to the truck. But I didn't think too much of it, Villa said. I walk away and he creeps up and hits the door button to unlock it like this, and it just stays open. So this guy's doing the, like, Elder Scrolls crouch near his car.
Just waiting.
The eye icon is just a line. No one can see him. Guy walks away. He's got a 5-second window. He just pulls on the fucking door handle and boom, he's in your fucking car. So what are you doing now? Why don't you just, like,
lock into
your
the
car?
Other side and everything.
Like, wow. Fucking just.
If you walk away, is he then locked in the car?
Well, I'm sure there's.
Can you just lock
actually,
him
it's
in?
A Tesla. There's probably no unlock button on the inside, presumably, to make sure you die in the fire so you can't testify about what happened. It was about 3 in the afternoon, and Veal was making a stop at the Staples in Downey. He says he noticed a couple of suspicious people walking around his truck and in the store with him. When he realized he had forgotten something in his vehicle, he went back. That's when he noticed something was off. Quote, so as I'm coming out, I see the same first guy in the blue shirt walk away from my truck. And then I also hear my truck lock, which should have already been locked, Via said. So as I get closer, I look in my truck and I see the center console open. Eddie saw the man walking away with what he believes were his roughly $600 pair of Louis Vuitton sunglasses.
Why would you
silly
even
cunt.
Have that?
You'd Why do you?
What are you doing? Idiot.
And you left. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. This is an absolutely deserved crime.
You're so stupid. Fucking stupid.
You're stupid. You're not smart.
For a start, non-prescription sunglasses, they cost like $20 and you get
How
them at the BP Roadhouse at Caboolture. Because you need a pair of sunglasses.
And you can get fake ones. They look the same. If you get fake Ray-Bans, they look the same as the real ones.
They look exactly the same. And I don't care if the money's not going to Ray-Ban. That's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who gives a shit?
Who cares?
Get your fake Louis Vuittons.
That's so funny.
I don't complain to the news about this either. Oh my God, they stole my $600 sunglasses. So
because
you
I bought
left
a stupid car,
unlocked.
And I left my expensive sunglasses in my stupid car.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd be embarrassed enough after the Cybertruck thing that I bought one, better yet the theft, to really mention it to anyone at all.
Is it a Cybertruck or just a Tesla?
No, it's a Cybertruck. It's worse.
It is
even worse.
Oh, eat shit.
That's so funny to keep expensive stuff in your car that is basically like a big thing that says, I'm like a big shitty asshole. Like, please
I'm a
fuck
big
with
shitty
this
asshole.
Car.
I'm stupid. A fool and
fuck.
His money are easily parted, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm not particularly smart.
I have too much money. I'm not smart.
I'm very credulous.
I don't
probably have
sex
taste
with my
in
wife.
Other things.
Do you two see these in where you live at all? around the area?
No, I've never seen one in Australia.
Are there any in Australia?
I think there are a handful. I've seen people in like Sydney and Melbourne posting about seeing them around. I think someone has told me that there is maybe a Cybertruck in Brisbane, but I've never seen one.
Okay, no.
But I
see one like every 2 weeks. I'll say.
Okay.
Do they sell like left-hand drive ones at all?
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, maybe not.
Wow.
He says he's thankful they didn't have time to grab more things, but he wants others who use the auto lock feature to be aware. Like, aren't you more glad they didn't, like, steal your fucking car?
Yeah, your stupid car.
I stole your sunglasses, dude. Who cares? Get some, like, knockoff fake fucking Louis Vuitton replacements. $20. Bam. Literally like, nothing bad happened to you.
Nothing yes. bad has been taken from you. Your friends and family are... You don't have any friends and family.
But if you did, nothing bad happened to them.
You could.
That's right. They couldn't easily be stolen from the center console if you had loved ones.
My God.
If you had a loved one in the center console, they might be gone. They might be in a taken scenario right now. If anything, these thieves gave you a gift of vigilance. You know? Think about it. Think on it. And also sell your fucking car.
Yeah.
Or blow it up. Blow it up probably better. Yeah.
That insurance might just job be... it.
Do insurance fraud. I don't care about that.
Yeah. Just don't ever get it serviced. And I'm sure it will just blow up of its own accord relatively soon.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about the amount of, just statistically, how many times like someone has just like kept like a gun in a Cybertruck and driven around like a gun? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think of scenarios that make me upset. Even if I haven't seen
it. Yeah, you should probably stop doing that.
I read a... Oh, man, I had it in the fucking notes, actually. But I read a crazy statistic about how many stolen guns were just taken from parked cars in America.
Ooh.
It's like the number one source of like stolen guns is just from like...
Someone just having like, it in their car.
Because people are like fucking... You know, in like movies, they'll show criminals always have like a pistol in the glove box, the glove compartment, whatever they call it in America.
Same diff.
But it turns out it's also regular people have just got one in there just in case someone cuts them off in traffic.
I think that's what it's for, right?
Yeah. It's just you like that video of that fireman who was singing along to that song and then fired through his own windshield at the guy. You remember that video?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm going to go... Savant Garde and drop a clip in here if I can.
Oh,
but he's just singing along being like, you can suck my D. Yes. And then someone cuts him off and he shoots out his own fucking windshield.
Oh. Oh, like at somebody? I thought you meant like an accidental discharge. Like
No, like on purpose because someone cuts him off. Wow. And he like just flips like that. Yeah. Not good. That's you're probably fine though. Nothing bad will happen to you personally, like when you're driving and stuff.
Chicago.
I have a tactical awareness about me that a lot of people, I'm going to become one of those guys who's like, when I enter a room, I can see the situation.
Oh man.
I am constantly John Wick style investigating the things around me to defend my wife and kids that I do not
you
have.
You do ocular pat downs everyone around you.
Every single
that guy's
angle
armed.
Of fire.
That guy's armed. I'm going to roll behind this display of laboopoos.
It's one of these days I'm going to have to do a tactical roll. I haven't had to do it yet, but just in case I have my sidearms, just in case.
Can you think about how many Americans are just desperately itching to be the gun hero?
Yeah.
That everyone is
want
like,
it so bad. Yeah.
Thank fucking God you were here to shoot those six guys and kill them all instantly for trying to get $150 mm-hmm. out of the till at this
oh
gas
God,
station.
Sir. You saved us.
We have a whole line of women here ready to suck you off, and the mayor's going to give you a sash.
What these guys don't realize is that I think it is more attractive to potential mates not to be the tactical gun guy, but to be the goofy guy that almost accidentally foils a heinous crime like through Mr. Magoo type incidents. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, ladies love that.
And I dropped on my coconuts and it bonked him.
You accidentally like trip the guy over because you're being so clumsy.
Yeah. You dropped a can of Coke from the drink fridge. It's rolled across the floor, and you've chased after it like fucking Wimpy from Popeye. Completely bowed over, fingers wiggling. And then you've accidentally knocked over the gunman right as he's about to kill the guy.
And then you've gone, oh, geez, my Coke.
Oh. My Coke's all shook up. And then you still open it, goes everywhere.
Your ladies love
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, sir. Didn't mean to bump you.
Every single woman in the room starts ovulating instantly. Do you see that guy just like blunder his way out of that situation?
Like, no, you're right, guy in his car with sunglasses. They want to see you like clumsily take out your tricked out $1,400 sidearm and like accidentally fucking shoot like three people in the Home Depot or whatever. Pathetic. Pathetic culture.
The Staples.
Yeah.
The Staples in Downey. I looked up the Staples in Downey. I have not been to the Staples in Downey. I've been to a few Staples. Never really had a good time.
Staples are...
It's like Officeworks, right?
Officeworks, yeah. Stationary place.
Office Max, as we call it.
Quote, everybody's been telling me, you should be paying attention to hear it lock when you're walking away. Well, I didn't. I was thrown off, and I think I just got complacent, Veer said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's been telling me I'm a fucking idiot. Well, guess what?
They're right. Yeah.
Correct.
I am.
I am not an intelligent man. And my car is ugly. And my eyes hurt because I don't have sunglasses anymore.
It's so funny to be like, just guys, heads up. If you like me are like dumb as fuck, watch out.
This could happen to you.
This could happen to you.
We've had so many
too.
Of those. Like, whenever we talk about scams and stuff, the person's like, I just want to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. Like,
yeah, I went to the paper to tell everyone how stupid I am to make sure it doesn't happen to somebody else.
It's almost like a form of like psychological defense, right? Because if you can convince yourself that it could just happen to anyone, then you're doing a public service.
And you're not a stupid fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're not a mark. You're actually a hero.
Mm.
Fuck, that's awesome. I just have an ordinary, shitty, regular, non-Tesla car, but I just lock it. I just do one of these. I'm doing like a little ka-chunk, and that door's locked.
Visual and physical.
You know what I mean? The noise it kind of makes.
The battery died in my key fob, so I just stopped locking my car for ages because it was more annoying to keep locking it manually. That's so
Ben, I have
lazy.
Done this for the past year and a half.
But it's fine. What if you just don't have anything worth stealing? Like, that's the way to freedom, is to not have anything worth stealing.
Yeah. I have literally, there's nothing in my car. There's one of my nice flannels is in there. I got a pair of sunglasses I don't really ever wear.
If someone breaks into my home, what are you going to do? You're going to carry the Sony Bravia? You're going to carry it delicately so that you don't damage the screen by pressing too hard on it while you're carrying it?
You can't move a modern TV anymore.
No.
We're fucked. I couldn't even get, when I bought a TV, they were like, oh, and it'll be this much extra for delivery. And I was like, oh, no, I've got a car. I'll just take it myself. And like, no, you can't move a TV.
You don't want to do that, sir.
You really don't want to move your own TV. And they're only going to get bigger and flimsier probably. So what are we going to do?
They're so flimsy. You don't want to be stealing that.
No.
What else are you going to take? You're going to take my laptop? I hope you do. Yeah. This thing fucking sucks.
Yeah, frankly, a lot of stuff here that I wouldn't mind getting taken off my hands, to be honest. I could just leave a list in the front.
You'd kind of be
like,
doing
if you
me
have
a
robbed
favor.
This place,
it'd be so freeing. It'd be so freeing to just have the stuff in your life taken away from you without any agency. You'd just be like, fuck, I don't need all this shit. I don't need all these fucking objects.
I didn't need all these objects. These objects aren't meaningful to me. Life is meaningful. Love is
experiences,
meaningful. Experiences.
Trust.
You can't
beauty.
Take my experiences from me.
Sunsets, the pins, the lane, the ball, the sky.
Yes.
The sky.
Cold beer.
The Taco Bell.
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite.
Bud Light. Coors Light. Natty Light.
Colorado Gold. So if anything, you know, listen to it lock or manually lock it. What are the two? Yeah.
I was just
your car
little...
is locked.
Make sure you lock your car.
My Cybertruck.
That's a funny thing to yell as well. If that got stolen, you wouldn't be yelling, oh no, my car. You would be yelling, oh no, my Cybertruck.
No.
I love the just buying a car that just makes you a mark. Like,
you're a target.
Thieves literally saw you. They saw your specific car and they thought, jackpot.
Man, that's what you got to do. You got to always park next to the Cybertruck. The guy probably will open his car door directly into your fucking car because they just don't think about other people.
Mm.
But no one's going to like look at the row of cars, 2003 mm-hmm. Subaru Forester, Cybertruck, 2003 Toyota Camry, and be like, oh, which one do we try? We've only got time for one car. They're not picking the Camry. Mm. Not picking the Forester. Mm-mm. They're picking the fucking Cybertruck for sure.
It's You're like getting a banana heat. In the tailpipe. Immediately.
Yeah. Step one. They have one of those?
I don't know.
I think as electric car, I want to say...
Cyber exhaust.
No.
I suppose not.
But I'm not entirely certain. I just realized I don't really know how they work.
Yeah. How would you kill yourself in a Cybertruck?
By Shane being comes in out it the back. For enough time.
Sit in it for long enough and your chances of dying go up exponentially.
That is true. It's nasty.
That old joke. How do you make a Cybertruck explode? Wait.
Have I told you guys a story about the guy who yelled at me in it from his Tesla?
You might. No.
Okay. Well, you might have to cut this because of brief mention of self-harm. But I was walking down the street with my girlfriend, and there's just a four-way stop sign, and the nice fancy Tesla like completely blows the stop sign. This is like a family neighborhood. I'm not trying to grandstand, but I'm like, dude, there's like people with puppies and stuff walking around. There's kids. There's, you know.
You gesture
so
at
I
them?
Just did. Well, I did you one further. I did the classic. There's a stop sign here, like within his windows open.
Like in our last episode, talked about specifically about how that gesture is like the only option you have is just the, what are you doing, bud?
Exactly.
What's that?
Exactly.
What is this? Hands
I remember,
raised
I listened to that
sky.
Episode and I did the same thing with you. And then I was like, it's one of these.
It's that guy.
And he like went through the rest of the intersection and then kind of slowed down at the other stop sign, like the other way. And he just rolled down the rest of his window and just said, yeah, you should fucking kill yourself, bitch. And then just drove away.
God.
And you like picked up a brick and threw it in his car or like...
I wish I said I did like something super cool and like overhand chucked a fucking like lawnmower blade through his windshield. Really, I didn't know what to do, so I just went like this and gave a big thumbs up.
he just kept going. This is what I'm fucking talking about. We need an avenue of like... If you can't get through to the driver, you've got to find a way to make that lesson stick. You got to be able to fucking pick up a fence post and like caber toss it through his like back window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you should at least be able to like kick out someone's headlights or something.
I wasn't expecting him to go nuclear that quickly, to be honest. I was expecting one or two more like, fuck you, buddies, before you went to the full on, you know.
I guess a kill yourself is one step before pulling the gun out, so.
Yes. Yeah.
He probably spared your life, actually. When he told you to kill yourself, that was his, like... That's like when chimpanzees start, like, growling at you. That's the warning that you get away before they rip
your
face off.
He gets out and I see he's, like, a katana-wielding samurai who's, like, pissed the fuck off. I'm like, oh, fuck. Babe, we gotta get out of here.
This feels like a bit of a step backwards, you know. I think that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when we were more connected, you guys would have had a proper, like, hey, fuck you. No, fuck you. Like a little, dialogue.
Hand to hand.
Yeah.
Dialogue.
You would have maybe, like, grabbed each other's shirt. You're lucky I got a fucking wife here, pal. Or,
why I oughta.
Kill you.
Yeah.
I should have done a why I oughta.
Yeah, you fucking get out of here.
I should have thrown a dog turd at him.
I reckon you could get like a good sort of David and Goliath style sling.
I was just going to say that. Like a
whip it.
Ooh,
straight
yes.
through the open window, gets in his mouth.
And the Tesla was slain on that day or whatever the Bible school.
And the guy died a week later from a brain eating amoeba that he got from the doctor.
They'll get you. Those fucking bastards. Those little bastards.
That'd be a good superhero power for you. Is that if you could give your like medical paranoia to
someone
other
else?
People?
I think about this all the time. Where like I used to when I was, I used to be like so lame about it and be like, I wouldn't wish this having OCD on anybody else. It's terrible. And now I see a picture of Elon Musk and I'm like, God, I fucking wish I could like make him be afraid of like
air conditioning
Legionnaire's disease from his air vent. I wish I could make him afraid of like rubber bands snapping at inopportune times and causing a gas leak or something. So good.
Is that a real one?
No, I was just trying to, you know, think of a random one that doesn't.
Because it's hard to know. Because a lot of them are quite really random. That's sort of the nature of them.
I had a tough one the other day that was marginal. I think me and Lucy have talked about this, where I was like eating a peanut-filled bar, Snickers bar. Should I responsibly wash my hands before I touch a doorknob? Because what if someone touches it and has a peanut allergy and then there's blood on my fucking hands?
I might give us just one more little short one just to finish this off. I might even skim read this one because there's only a couple of crucial things I want from it. But it's time for Looks Like Menu's Back on the Menu.
Looks Like Menu, back on the menu, boys!
So this is a follow-up to something that we talked about in episode 404, the three mouth problem. We talked about the return of the McDonald's snack wrap. Jesse, have you had the McDonald's snack wrap?
You're slightly younger than us. Are you nostalgic for the snack wrap?
Yeah, dude.
I'll tell you. I listened to the episode and I wrote down some of my thoughts here. I put them on a big notebook. I did listen to that episode and I was like, you know, snack wrap, I gotta be honest, I don't think I ever ordered a snack wrap.
Yeah.
Because it's like a tortilla, but like not a tortilla. Like it's like a fucking the same way McDonald's is with everything else, but it's tortilla and it's not good. I don't think it looks like
a
wheat-based
wrap, certainly. Yeah.
It looks like shit.
Yeah.
And plus I'm really committed to, I try not to eat meat at all anymore, but I still crave the McDouble above pretty much anything else. Period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to stray from the McDouble, every time I get a chicken sandwich or something, I feel like I could have just gotten another McDouble, and this one has too much mayonnaise or not enough pickle or something, or lettuce, whatever the fuck. And I'm not going to go out of my comfort zone for this little snack wrap, this piddly little piece of shit that they keep bringing about. I'm not interested in the campaigns
it's like a
for
nothing
this
food.
Creature.
It's nothing food. To me.
Yeah, so fucking weird. I just don't understand.
The McDouble
is kind of
perfect.
For
us,
right?
Or for
the
you
McDouble
guys?
The McDouble is the perfect
worldwide
burger.
Interesting.
Yeah, worldwide.
International rollout of the snack wrap.
You know what it feels like to me? Someone needs attention is like what it's giving to me. Where they're like, oh, McDonald's, like it's 2025. I'm just not interested anymore. Enough.
We did have someone, maybe even two people, write into us to be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I was hanging out for the return of the snack wrap. Thank you for writing in. You are insane.
Is there a sauce involved? See, now I'm just... People are going to get mad.
I think it's just like
mayonnaise,
chicken, and lettuce.
Yeah.
There's not like a...
fucking nothing, dog.
It was in the Happy Meal at one point. Maybe it's just if you're a certain age and you got that in your Happy Meal.
It's making you think of a better time.
Yeah.
This is from Restaurant Business Online. The popularity of snack wraps caught McDonald's off guard. McDonald's knew its snack wrap would be popular. It just didn't realize exactly how much. The company underestimated early demand for the $2.99 product by at least 70%, according to multiple sources.
Are you fucking joking?
So it's like four times...
fucking kidding me?
More popular
it's
than they thought.
$2.99?
Yeah, well, $2.99 over there. Probably not $2.99 here, but yeah.
Okay.
Like...
too much.
Who are the fucking people that like... I don't know who you are. You're aliens to me. This prompted shortages of ingredients such as shredded lettuce used to make the item.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why do so many people like what they like? I don't understand it. Because to me, that stuff is bad.
Yeah, I don't understand what makes other people happy if it isn't what I like.
How different
we've run into this a lot with the Good Doctor. Real, not to just bring up the avant-garde all the time, but it does come up a lot because everyone online loves this show so much. And me and Lucy feel like we're, I don't know about you, Lucy, I won't speak for you, but I feel like I'm dissolving when I read stuff like that, where they're like, this spoke to me.
I feel like I'm being even more othered when I realize that other people really like the things that are bad.
It's a form of othering.
There could be like a bit of selection bias happening in that you're reading what people think about The Good Doctor from spaces where people who like The Good Doctor.
Now that is true.
Talk
but it's
about
wildly
it.
Popular, so it must be true.
But
I'm going to get a snack wrap today. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to McDonald's. I might go get one for lunch.
See, is
there a spicy original dichotomy like they do with some other stuff? Like spicy snack wrap?
Yeah, they've got a spicy one.
Wrap, but that's a big wrap. The snack wrap is only crispy or grilled.
Interesting.
I think the Americans have got the option.
Hmm.
Quote, after 9 years of pent-up demand, fans showed up in full force to celebrate the return of the snack wrap, McDonald's said in a statement. Been blown away by the response from packed restaurants with lines out the door to non-stop social buzz. No.
Non-stop.
I have not seen, any this shit. Circle.
This is not real.
I bet they're paying influencers to like do the videos about this, right? Like I reckon 100%. If you look up snack wrap videos on TikTok, it's probably heaps.
Yeah. Man. Oh, I bet those are fucking grim. People sitting in their car having one bite and going,
being like, oh,
that's, oh, now that's quite
it's actually good.
It's not interesting. I'll kill you. In 2020, McDonald's introduced a Travis Scott meal featuring a quarter pounder with cheese, bacon, and lettuce that proved so popular it drove shortages of many ingredients. Snack wraps outperformed Travis Scott.
Interesting. Wow.
What a
Why
crazy way to frame
that sentence.
Why did we do
this thing at McDonald's for a while? We had like the Kid Leroy meal.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Was cool. I did get the BTS meal, which was just a McNugget meal with a different sauce.
Was it a Korean sauce?
It was like
some kind
of Korean spicy sauce. That was,
not
that
brave
was it.
Enough
that was
to
the
do
BTS
like a
meal.
Gochujang mayo, are they? Or a kimchi mayo. They wouldn't dream of
would
doing
never.
Something that awesome.
Yeah. God, that would be good.
So
though.
Obviously the celebrity meals are not making the big bucks for McDonald's. I think like, it's because the food was just the same food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you theme a meal to Travis Scott? A quarter pounder?
What do you mean? Why would I know what Travis Scott's McDonald's order is?
It's a quarter pounder with cheese, bacon, and lettuce.
Is that actually what it is?
Which cheese is like, already on a quarter pounder. So is lettuce, isn't it? So it's just bacon? It's a quarter pounder with bacon, which is a
bacon
Travis Scott?
To a quarter pounder?
Mm. Okay.
I would just, you've got to have put some kind of crazy sauce on there for me to even, if it's a new gimmick menu item, it better have an interesting sauce or two.
And you that's know, the easiest getting... thing for you to whip up in R&D, right? You just ship out the tubs of sauce and bam.
Yeah. Do the Rick and Morty sauce with it.
Grimace Shake, though. Grimace Shake was fucking sick.
Was it?
Grimace Shake.
Oh, my God, it was delicious.
This is why it's so important we have you on the show, Lucy, because you will try these things.
Well, I'm out there. I'm on the field.
A lot of people are sick of how we talk negatively about stuff that we would never actually interact with, but you're out here interacting with the garbage and the trash.
That's right. I'm going to get that snack wrap.
I'm curious what you think. Let me know. Keep me posted. I'm interested to see what the snack wrap is up to.
Can you do it as an influencer video on the
Instagram? Yeah, I'll film
myself
in the Milton McDonald's.
You could borrow my car if you need to film it in a car. Like you can't
ghost,
drive
I'll
it, obviously.
I'll go sit in your car.
McDonald's did know snack wraps would be a hit. The company took the rare step of announcing its upcoming return during a December appearance on the ABC News program Good Morning America by Joe Erlinger, McDonald's US president. Mm. That came in the aftermath of an E. coli outbreak that hurt sales last November.
Oh.
So you reckon they had the snack wrap sitting behind like a glass emergency case?
Wow.
And they're like, E. coli outbreak, bring back the snack wrap.
Distract them.
It's like the shadowy figures from... What's the fucking Mulholland Drive? It's the room full of guys from Mulholland Drive. They're like, bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Snack wrap.
I like the idea that our country could be successfully distracted from like E. coli related deaths by like the return of everyone's favorite sandwich or whatever. That's so good. We're like, oh my God, what a horrific new freaking sandwich.
Snack
Old sandwich
wrap.
Came back. Wow, they did a gritty reboot of the snack wrap. That's awesome.
It is kind of like a testament to McDonald's as a whole that they could have a noteworthy E. coli outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
these things happen pretty often, right?
Like constant, right? You'd just be like, Salmonella, E. coli.
This shit happens.
All of them. The question for McDonald's is whether it can keep the sales the product is generating right now. At least one survey gives the company some good news. According to the data firm Numerator, 90% of consumers who bought a snack wrap would buy one again in the future.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know. I just don't fucking know. Just don't make no kind of sense.
This just sounds made up and fake.
Yeah. This is
who's answering that survey? Is that
did you enjoy your snack wrap
like,
and would
it?
You buy it again? Yeah.
Mouthful of snack wrap.
They're going to release a study that the average person accidentally eats 8 snack wraps a year in their sleep or something. Trying to stir up buzz again.
I reckon this is part of it. I reckon they deliberately understocked the snack wrap, put a really long lead on the announcement, yes, and they're like, oh no, we've 100%. Run out of the snack wrap. You fucking, we can see through this fucking shit. Okay?
The internet is going crazy and we are here for it. The new snack wrap is back.
It's low key going viral AF.
Holy fuck. I'm on the My Macca's app. Would you like to guess how much the crispy chicken snack wrap costs?
It better not be more than $3.
$6.20.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get fucked.
Fuck off.
Are you fucking joking? I remember these things being like the size of my palm. Like they are
these like
tiny.
Not a meal. They're so small. In their own.
It's not
right.
a meal. It's a snack wrap. They were relatively transparent in the name of the thing.
Yeah.
That's fucked
it's
up.
It's literally called that.
That's fucked.
Oh, that's tough. That's I accidentally Googled $6.50 USD to USD, and I was like, what? $6.50? It's $4.19.
1 to 1?
It's huh? like $4 or something. I don't
it's $4.19. That is way too much for what I understand.
That's too fucking much,
to
bro. That's, what single burgers can you get for $6 at McDonald's?
You
like,
could
you
get,
can get a double
you
cheeseburger.
You could get a double cheeseburger. Two chicken and cheeses.
Man. Yeah, you could get at least one McDouble and maybe a single.
You know what? I'm issuing an ultimatum. McDonald's, if you don't knock it off with this snack wrap shit,
I'm
going to
do something. Something's going to happen.
Something's going to fucking happen, all right? Okay? Just
I'll be taking
be
my
careful.
Business elsewhere.
Watch yourself.
Let's just say don't do bring your kid to work day, all right? Because there might be two casualties. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast, Punta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us, you the listener, and also you, Jesse, like a podcasting network, so we can call ourselves like colleagues.
I mean, we're colleagues. You guys should be colleagues.
I would love to be colleagues with you sometime.
Oh, my God.
What about Cum Turder Industries?
Cum Turder?
Yeah.
I can't judge at all. I've been naming our recording sessions just absolute bawdy things, but then I had to do tech support on Zencaster and send
Getting
it in.
Judged by Zencaster Keith?
It's tough. I'm really regretting some of the names we've made for some of these things.
Oh, your files on Sean Murphy are ready?
Yeah, there's Sean Murphy's Peebus, Sean Murphy. I thought that me and Lucy would be the only people to see these things, foolishly, yeah. So...
We've run into this a bunch.
Yeah, we've
not,
had this
not
before.
So much, but with the previous app that we use where I'd have to email them to retrieve like single audio tracks and then people would have used names like Lucy's right now, which is Mr. Cocksucker, or yours, which is Jizzy2.
Jizzy2.
So you
like
fucking
that.
Tell me. You guys... are on Savantgarde, the podcast, yes. And you, the listener, should listen to it. It's one of my very favorite podcasts. I'm halfway through listening to the most recent episode now. I was actually listening. It was the thing queued up in my car, Lucy, when we got into the car yesterday.
Oh,
so I did a
weird.
Man scramble
that
to change
strange.
It to something else before the Bluetooth connected. So that
That's crazy. Awkward. You're getting too much Lucy.
Yeah, I'm getting the perfect
Not enough Jesse.
Amount.
Lucy Square. Yeah. Not enough me.
Move to Brisbane, Jesse.
I would love to. Jeez Louise. I'm going to end up in the grub mines here shortly if I don't. But
it's
such a delight to do that podcast. I'm so glad you're enjoying it, Ben. I'm trying to edit the most recent episode, but my recordings are... I just fixed them, and now I have to get clips from The Good Doctor, and boy, is it hard to watch that episode again and get clips from it. That show is a real...
You should have,
stinker.
Should have come up with a podcast where you watch something that's like really nice
that's
to watch.
No
honestly,
one wants
I think
to hear
having
that.
Monk is our saving grace. To, like literally, I don't know if we planned it that way, but Monk truly is like holding me like in his arms, cradling me like a baby. And Sean Murphy's
the good
going.
News is, there's like nothing wrong with doing 200 episodes of your podcast and then just changing what the podcast is about.
Excellent.
If you want to, it's your podcast. Do whatever feels good. Check out Savantgarde. Check out the podcast, Punta Vista, by which I mean keep listening to it, please. We will talk to you on a free episode. Until then, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.